Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. On this episode of Celeb Savant, I'll be speaking to Bars and Melody. They are a British R&B and rap duo consisting of rapper Leo DeFries and singer Charlie Lenihan. They took part in the 8th series of Britain's Got Talent in 2014. During their audition, they were automatically sent into the semi-finals of the competition after the head judge Simon Cowell pressed the golden buzzer. They ultimately finished 3rd in the series. They have released numerous singles and albums over the years and continue to tour throughout the world. Up next on Celeb Savant, we have got Leo and Charlie from Bars and Melody. Leo, Charlie, thank you for joining us on the Celeb Savant podcast. Tell us, where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life and how are you doing?
Okay. Hi, guys. So we are Bars and Melody.
We're
all the way from the UK, which to you guys is quite far away. You guys are quite far from us. We're a rapping and singing duo. We've been around for a long time now. Maybe you would recognize us from our baby faces, maybe not so much our ugly old faces. We actually started our journey on Britain's Got Talent in 2014. And since then, we've just been trying to build a stable and maintain our career since then. And it's been going great so far. So, yeah.
Cool. So where does the name Bars and Melody come from? How did you guys choose that?
So it's actually a funny story that includes us just trying to thinking outside the box. We're trying to think of, you know, like our slogan. It could be bam, pow, ka-cham, whatever. But we thought of bam, and then we thought of bam, and then we was thinking, okay, what could bam mean? And then obviously the core components of, you know, a piece of music, you know, you got off the bars for measurement and then the melody to, you know, really bring that, I don't know, that different energy to the track. So, you know, Charlie was the singer, I was the rapper, and bars were called raps. And I just thought, you know, this is a cool name, so why not?
So does bam and kapow and ka-ching, all those things come from the comics?
No, exactly.
We wanted something that was like super catchy, super, because like bars and melody is quite long. So bam is a lot easier than saying the full thing. So it was kind of like, we were trying to be marketing geniuses at 12 years old.
It seems like it's working. What was the inspiration to start off on Britain's Got Talent?
I think, you know, we both had a huge desire to be successful in music from a young age. Mm-hmm. I think that was very clear from both of our sides. Our parents could see that, our friends and family, they could all see that. We was working really, really hard towards stepping into music, even from such an early age. And we kind of got given our little breaks, you know. We started to do well, just getting together, the music was good, people around us were supportive, you know, and that just kind of gave us the motivation to take it a little more seriously and take that next step. And, you know, we was trying to decide what was our career path, how were we going to do this, and we built like a 100-step plan, and we're like, well, how can we avoid these 100 steps and just get straight to business? And obviously, as we're discussing this and talking about this, an advertisement came up on TV for Britain's Got Talent, and that was kind of our moment where we looked at each other, kind of had one of those, like, you know, one of those moments.
Synchronicity moments.
And, you know, we had no real expectation of coming away from the show with anything. For us, it was purely just, you know, maybe get a little bit of exposure, a little bit of experience. And it turned out to be everything but that. It turned out to be life-changing and iconic. And yeah, it was completely unexpected, completely authentic. And I think that's one reason why we're still around today, is because that whole process was just so unexpected and unplanned, and it went so perfectly, you know.
I think one of the, you know, just going off what Charlie said, you know, he said the one of the reasons why we're still here. And I think, you know, that's definitely true, is because, you know, we went on there and it was such a life-changing experience, and, you know, so many people did see it. But I would say another reason for, you know, our longevity is honestly our friendship. And I hate to say it like that, but, you know, I really want to stress to people, we've been through a hell of a lot, and like, it makes me emotional to even think about it. The stuff me and Charlie have been through together as a unit, it's more than friendship. It's a spiritual. We've ascended into on that level together, you know. And I feel like it's very hard to it's going to be very hard to recreate. I'm so lucky to have Charlie, and you know, we're very happy at the place we're at right now, because you know, we're more aware of what's going on, and we're ready to take on the challenges because we've been through so much. We've got that experience now.
Yeah. So I saw your faces when you, Simon, hit that golden buzzer, and the shock and excitement and the joy. So as you said, it created something that you didn't expect, and you kept on growing and moving upwards and forwards from there.
I think the most shocking thing and the hardest thing to deal with is we knew it was going to change our lives, but we didn't know in which way or to what extent or how. And obviously, as you pretty much everyone's aware, the shows, especially the first auditions, are pre-recorded. So there was a long time where we had to keep that a secret and hide what had happened. And which, of course, is normal. It's normal, you know, they do a big like 10-month run of auditions before they actually start the series.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Really? So it took a long time for our episode to actually air. And we sat there day by day by day, just building up anticipation of how are people going to react? How is it going to go? How is everyone going to be? How are they going to feel? And like for so long, we built up this anticipation. But then to see it go the way it did, like, just made it even better. You know, there's nothing worse than building up that level of anticipation and it doesn't go the way you want. Whereas like in this case, it went 100 times better than what we ever expected. So it felt amazing.
You know? I literally remember as soon as I auditioned, Ed, just watching our Instagram followers go from literally like 20,000 to like 400,000 in one night.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my goodness. Like,
wow, that's amazing.
No, it was honestly crazy, and you know, the show, we're super grateful for it, and we'll never forget, you know, what it's done for us, definitely.
And you guys met at school, correct?
No. So we met when we was in school. I was doing like bits of music myself separately, and so was Leo, and we were just very young, posting them on Facebook and YouTube and things like this. And obviously our areas are only around an hour apart drive from where we grew up. So we would see each other's videos, they would come up recommended, stuff like this. And yeah, one day we just decided to meet up. It was meant to just be a collaboration. Like, it was just like, I like what you're doing, you like what I'm doing, let's do something together. And then kind of ended up a permanent fixture. Now I feel like I've been married for 30 In years.
10 years later.
Your creative process. So going from zero, nothing, to 3 to 4 minute song. What is that journey? What is that process? Is it the same every time? Is it different? How do you get these creative juices flowing? Tell us more.
It's completely different every time, but we finally kind of found where we are most comfortable and sit the best at. You know, obviously, since the beginning, we've been going and working with some phenomenal producers from around the world, different studios, different sessions, different writers every day. And the productivity was good. And it was fun, but it wasn't efficient. And over COVID, we decided that our business was very, very fruitful, but not very efficient. You know, there was a lot of things that were taking way too long. We was taking way too long to release music, way too long to plan and release. So we decided to knock down the pins that were in the way, and really like just gain efficiency and sufficiency in the business. And the way we found that was by actually learning to do all this stuff ourselves. We now completely record everything from home. We write everything ourselves. We work with producers around the world that send us beats and content to us directly. Mm-hmm. And we work from home just because there's a lot of effort, time, and presence that goes into a studio session, and you might get one good song, or you might get maybe two if you're lucky in a day, and those songs might not be ever used. And that's a huge waste of 5 to 10 people's time, effort, money, electricity, all these things, you know? Whereas now we have the efficiency to, at any point in our day, we have a studio there ready to record whenever we're feeling inspired, whenever we're feeling ready, whenever we find a beat we like. And, you know, we literally have the efficiency now to be able to smash out four or five songs in a day. And if they don't pull off and become anything we expected them to be, it's okay. We haven't wasted anyone's time. Yep. We haven't really wasted any of our like business time. So our creative process has entirely changed. We're now completely in control of it. We used to have a lot of people help us. Whereas now we've decided to strip it back, do it all ourselves. But it seems to be working the best. And that's the most important thing. It's only a structure we've had in place for, I mean, we've been self-recording for about a year and a half now. But we've now finally managed to get to the point where we can comfortably release a song every month. And that's our target and aim right now. Because we have an amazing fan base. And we have an amazing opportunity in front of us. And one thing we've never done is give the fans enough music. We've always been very slow with releases. So we decided it's time that we start releasing as frequently as we can. So now it's every month. Now it's every month. And that's all by recording from home.
It's interesting, I suppose, because when there are more people involved, it's, what do you think? Now, what do you think? Now, what do you think? And by the time it goes around all those different people, it's like a week, a day, a month.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh my God, what's taking so long? But now it's like, you two guys are like, cool. This is cool. This is a jam. Let's dive into it. Let's release it and let's go.
And it literally is like that. It's not like I sit there and I tell Leo what to do and Leo tells me. I will come in, I'll spend my time, Leo will come in, decide if he likes it or not, or vice versa. And then we do our own thing. And we then, you know, if we have any notes for each other or any slight changes or anything like this, then of course we'll communicate on that. But apart from that, we pretty much don't even have to talk to get a song done, you know? Which is actually quite, which sounds interesting, but it's actually very, very sufficient. There's no, like you said, there's no difference of opinions. There's no opinions in the way or time delays or anything like this. So it just works for us super well. And we feel the most comfortable doing it this way.
But obviously, sure. I think that the main thing that allows us to be able to do this is our understanding of music, obviously, because... Yeah. You know, when we were younger, we didn't know how to write a pop song. We needed the help. Like, I was literally. But nowadays, you know, I'm 22 years of age now. Charlie's 24. We've got to that age now where it's like, you know, we can do it. We understand how music is constructed. We understand what makes a hit song, a fucking club song, rap song, whatever. We understand the metrics. So now we're really looking to use, you know, all this experience we've built up over the years and, you know, really start to snowball it in 2022, 2023.
Can I ask you a question? If COVID didn't happen, would you still be...
I don't want to... I want to answer.
So if COVID didn't happen, would you guys still be with all those people, relying on them, being with them all the time, definitely, waiting for their responses? So COVID allowed you to become independent and, you know, rely on yourselves.
It didn't even really give us it. It forced us to.
Yes.
You know, like we went from... studio sessions every week, touring every week, you know, like our life was completely indulged and centered around us moving. You know, we didn't stop for almost 6-7 years. We didn't take a break. I think the longest we had off in that time was maybe like a week, 2 weeks max.
Wow.
And from kids, you know, we lost a lot of our childhood and stuff like this. So for us, COVID was probably needed. As horrible as that sounds, yeah, but it forced us to have a break. It forced us to sit there, collect our thoughts, think about where we want to go, what we want to do, because we were so caught, like you said, in that loop of getting stuff done. And it gave us the time to kind of sit there and digest all these things that we've been speaking about and going, right, well, where can we become better? What can we change? Who do we need? Who do we not need? What do we need? What do we not need?
Yeah.
You know, and it gave us some super, super needed clarity. And although it was hard for everyone, don't get me wrong, I'm sitting there acting like COVID was good. It wasn't. It affected a lot of people's lives, and it did affect our lives in a negative way also. But we're just the type of people, we like to, as hard as anything is, take away the good from it, what we can. And like you said, in that COVID period, it did force us to gain some of the initiative we now have. So it was definitely worth going through.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, just it goes without saying, we had tours booked, world tours booked. We were touring America, Japan, Germany, all this stuff had to be cancelled. And, you know, that's hard, you know, especially where I'm going to go on a world tour and I've been anticipating it for our brand new album, which was so highly anticipated. It drops, everyone's loving it, and we're sat in the living room watching the reaction. I'm not on stage, I'm not on a tour bus, I'm not in interviews, I'm not in a meet and greet. I've never had to experience anything like that. And I'm not saying it was definitely different for me, but you know, it's put us in the place now where we're able to be just so self-sufficient. And you know, almost like, you know, we had so many more cooks in the kitchen before. Yes. But like
so many chefs in the kitchen cooking the stew, but no one's getting to the end result. Yeah, I've always loved the music. I'm loving the new tracks. So it's obviously working really well. And, you know, obviously you guys are younger. Previously, vinyls and CDs and all those things are making a comeback. But, you know, now it's all these digital platforms that people consume music. What are your thoughts around the consumption of how people, you know, listen to music now compared to pre the times when it was actually the physical thing? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I honestly, I was negligent of streaming for maybe 2 years of when it came into the industry, as like we came into the industry just as streaming become a thing, really. You know, 2014, 15 is when Spotify really come about and started to overtake the physical sales. And of course, like our first release, Hopeful, was mainly a physical release. So CDs, cassettes, you know, for our first album, we did vinyls and all this stuff. And it was more centered towards iTunes charts and the actual top 40 and hitting radio and getting actual physical sales. And then within one single to the next, it changed entirely. And of course, as we all know, the big corporate streaming companies do not pay the artists the same way as what physical releases do. Yeah. So for the music industry itself as an entity, and as a business, I think it's very damaging and it has damaged the industry significantly. But on the other hand, it's opened up opportunities to reach people that would never have been reached. Things like Spotify playlisting, TikTok charting, you know, all these things can now give people the ability to come away from the corporate labels, as we've been independent for pretty much 90% of our career. It gives the power back to the artist in a way, because it's a lot more controllable, you know, with this sense of virality in the world now. It's a lot easier for an artist to make his own living and make his own career based off of his own back, rather than having to go and rely on a corporate label and give away every piece of their business they need to give away. That's one thing we've noticed. You know, now in our era, there seems to be a lot more independent artists. When we was around at the start, it was very, very, very rare for an entity our size to be independent. Now it seems trendy. It seems actually the opposite way, that it's actually more rare nowadays to actually have a deal. When I speak to people that are at our level and in our game and they say, oh, I'm signed to a label, I'm like, oh, okay. Because it's just not so common now. So it's 50-50. It's hard to say. It's helped in ways, it's destroyed in others. I love the physical side of music. You know, I love things like vinyls and cassettes, and you know, I grew up buying my songs on iTunes, and I feel like when that time in the world was around, you was a lot more careful about what you listened to and what you downloaded and what you paid for, because you had to make sure you really liked the song, otherwise it wasn't worth that money. And if you paid £10 for an album and it was a rubbish album, you'd be so angry, you know. So like it's taken away some of the like pizzazz around it as well, but, you know.
So for me, I love a CD and I still buy CDs. So what you're talking of, there's that whole journey of the experience of like, okay, I'm going to choose this one. I'm going to pay for it. Going to go to the store, go get it delivered. The images, the artwork, the song words, the lyrics, all that kind of stuff. I feel that as an observer of the listeners around me, they are now so blasé. It's like, oh, I can skip it out. That experience of the music has been taken away by just focusing. You know, the attention spans are like 2 seconds.
Yeah, no, And that's one reason why we had to up our release schedule, because people's minds are on social media are now so fast paced and everything's so quickly and easy replaceable nowadays. Yep. If you don't keep up with the momentum and keep in people's faces, you're just going to disappear. Yep. You know, and I think that's one of the things that this streaming has done, is given people the ability to just click on, find any artist, any genre, any sound, anything, and within seconds they can listen to it for free or with a small monthly subscription.
Yeah.
Actually, no, to be honest, you can find it for free.
Yeah.
There's ways to find everything for free nowadays, you know? So it's made the industry a lot more fast-paced. We noticed that ourselves. We actually are very humbled and privileged and honored to still be in this game and to be in this game for so long, because we've seen how this new virality of it was social media, but of course that's now spread into the music industry, can cause artists to one day be a huge sensation and a huge entity who can sell thousands of tickets and has an amazingly stable career, to within 6 months to a year literally be completely gone and not even remembered.
Yeah.
And it's like that's scary, you know, that's scary, and that's something that you've got to have in mind as an artist to avoid, you know, because it's very easy to get swallowed up in the algorithm and in new trends. And, you know, if you're not staying on the ball, you're not going to stay around. And at the same time, if all you do is just follow trends, people are going to start realizing that, and they're not really going to click with it because it's false representation. Yeah. So I think one of the reasons we've had longevity is because we've always been so real. We're not great with social media. We've never claimed to be. And our fan base actually like the fact that we're bad with social media. That's kind of one of our niches, you know. So it's little things like that. Just being, I think, being real in this time is the most important. Everything else is relative. Things come and go. As long as you got good music, good spirit, good energy, and good vibes, just keep doing you, and the industry will do its thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think of social media is completely filtered. So a lot of people, if they're just sticking to that, there's no realism to it because it's just filters.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Okay, I'm going to put you both on the spot right now. I love playing this game.
Okay.
The recipients don't always like it. If I ask this question to you in an hour, half an hour, tomorrow, 5 days' time, I realize and recognize that the answer will be different each time I ask the question. Charlie, you first. Top 5 songs by other artists. Go.
Top 5. Okay. All right. This is a big one. And this is hard. Okay.
I'm giving Leo time to think.
No, because you are going to understand through this how crazy diverse my music genre is.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got to say Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. Absolute inspiration for me growing up. My mum raised me on country music. Then I would say has to be Rain Man by Eminem. Okay. That is the song that if you put a gun to my head and said, sing every lyric, otherwise you're going to die. That would be my song, you know?
Okay.
I would make sure I would live this day. No problem. I would then say, I have to pay my homage to my grandparents because they raised me on Queen.
But which song?
Bohemian Rhapsody, okay. I would say. Oh, I would then go, obviously I'm very R&B influenced. So I would go, there's a song called TGT, Sex Ain't Never Felt Better. That's the name of the song. And then for my fifth, I think it's got to be No Stylist by Drake and okay. French Montana.
Cool. Leo, you up.
Good mix, right? Good mix. Country, absolutely. Rock.
Brilliant.
Trap. Brilliant. Bit of everything.
Brilliant. You've had time to think.
I know, isn't it?
Okay, Take the Power Back, Rage Against the Machine.
Nice.
Shit. All I Need Is Your Love. What's that song called?
Love Tonight.
Love Tonight. I can't remember who it's by, but I always play it. I Get the Bag, Gucci Mane.
Nice.
A
bit of peep in there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, how did you know?
See, this
bro?
Is what I mean, bro. I know your better. I know your favorite song is better than you know.
Hellboy, Lil Peep. Last song. What song do I love, man? One Watch, Young Thug. I gotta get some Young Thug in there. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Nice. What do you guys enjoy about performing live?
I think it's an adrenaline and a rush that you can't buy, you can't replicate, you can't find anywhere else. Trust me, we've tried. Even skydiving, I don't think would cut it, you know. There's just nothing out there that gives you that same rush. You know, we're quite adventurous and extreme. We love to go out, do things, you know, we're always doing crazy stuff. And with what we've been able to do and travel the world since we were so young, we've experienced so much, we've seen so much, been through so much. And even in those almost 10 years now we've been doing this, we've never been able to find anything that slightly even matches the buzz and the thrill and the feeling of reward that playing an amazing show does.
When you play that show and there's just like everyone singing every word that you've sat there and wrote, and like they're all bouncing and everyone's just like, you honestly can't believe, like, you don't feel like it's, I don't know, I never feel like I deserve it. I just feel like I'm not worthy of that feeling. That's how good it is. And yeah, it's addicting, I can't lie. I can imagine, you know, if I was never able to do that again, I'd be very upset.
For us, we actually had, like, you know, a good 2 years where we didn't do a show. We had some very small, intimate COVID shows. But we hadn't actually played, like, a show that we necessarily used to, let's put it that way, for a good 2 years. And of course, we never lost the motivation for music and stuff like this, but obviously we were very anxious about touring. What countries still like us, who's forgotten about us, mm-hmm. Where are we big now, like, you know, maybe we've fallen off here but gone up here. So there was a lot of anticipation, and especially in the UK, we haven't really done anything for a long time. But we had the opportunity to go and play a show in our hometown. It was a big show, a lot of people there, and, you know, there was a lot of anticipation there, and we were quite scared because we hadn't done a show like that in a long time. And it was the best feeling, you know. It gave us that kick up the ass to get going again, you know. It gave us that kick of like, yeah, this is what we've been missing. You know, you forget the feeling when you don't do something for so long, you know, and it gave us a bit of a taste for that feeling again. And it's just given us that motivation and that push now to, yeah, just to get back out touring. You know, we were absolute tour demons. We would tour 250, 300 days a year until pre-COVID. So for us to just be at home doing this, it's weird. We've adapted to it, but I think we've kind of realized that actually we don't like this and we need to get back on the road, get active, yep, and get busy again. So
that show reignited your passion, obviously.
Definitely. I think the passion never lost music wise, but yeah. I think actually, like, being an artist, like getting up, doing shows, doing interviews, doing stuff like this, you know, we kind of just become hermits who sat in the studio and just focused on music. So to actually get back out in the world and experience that side of things again definitely gave us that motivation to shut down the computer, give the music a rest for a second, yeah, and enjoy some socializing and shows, and even like doing this, you know. We haven't done a huge amount of interviews and stuff over COVID. We like I said, we took that as time to really just chill out and do stuff. So even just coming and doing this stuff again is amazing. It's so nice to be able to just sit and talk, because we haven't sat and talked like this in years. So we've changed as people. So it's nice for people to see this change, see us in an older mindset, in a more mature mindset. And yes, yeah, it's refreshing. It's refreshing.
Well, grateful for your time today. But your perception, I know you said earlier that you hadn't been to South Africa. Your perceptions of the country, do you guys plan to come here at all?
Technically, my daughter is quarter South African.
Oh, okay.
There we go. My baby mother is half South African.
Cool.
She has South African parents. South Africa has been one of those places that we have honestly every year had an opportunity to go or tried to go, and something has stopped us. I think we've had like 3 or 4 festivals, yeah, that we've confirmed. And then closer to the time, things haven't worked out and stuff like this. It's just been one of those places that we've been dying to get to. Like, I can't wait to come over and experience and see that area of the world. It's such a huge proportion. We've been to every continent but Africa, you know, like that's the thing. We've been everywhere else, but anywhere in that area of the world. And there's so much there that we want to see and experience. And it's so sad we haven't yet. But I'm also glad we haven't, because it gives us something to aim for and look forward to. Yep. It is on our list, and we will definitely, definitely be over there very, very soon.
So when you guys come through, I'm going to be right in front cheering you along, and then we'll go for drinks afterwards. How does that sound?
100%. You got to be our tour guide. You got to be our tour
guide. Perfect. I'll be your tour guide. So guys, to finish off, so the podcast is... The top five countries that we listened to is the US, UK, South Africa's third, Belgium, Australia. So nice. As a final message from each of you, what would you like to say to the listening audience?
I just want to say thank you guys so much. If you've been sat here through all of our rubbish talking, if you're still here, thank you so much for listening to us this long. We really appreciate you guys. Big, big love. That's what I mean. This interview has been more like just a friendly chat. I've loved it. It's been an amazing vibe. So I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Big love for your support. We really appreciate it. We can't thank you guys enough. And big love to you for having us, man.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. Some really good questions. Usually they're boring.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Usually interviews are boring. This one got me going.
Thank you. I take it as a compliment. Thank you so much. Leo, anything else you want to add as a final message to the audience?
Yeah, I would just really want to say to people, you know, especially with our more recent music, we're definitely going down a different path. And I know change is scary sometimes, but sometimes it's for the best. That's all I want to say.
Well, they say there's fear there, means you're on the right track.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, Leo, Charlie, this has been a brilliant time. I've had an absolute ball chatting with you guys. I appreciate your time. This is Celeb Savant signing out.
Thank you so much. Peace, man.